Over the past few months, we've seen that every one of us has a call of God upon our life, and that we have a destiny, and that God in all his wisdom has designed a unique plan, a unique purpose for every one of us, and he's set certain things in motion. He started the ball rolling in our lives, and in our life, it happened, of course, when we were born, but in reality, these plans were set in motion before the earth was even created. And before the earth was even created, God already knew about us. And so, in a sense, even our plan, the plan for our life was set in motion before the earth was created. We just weren't even here yet. Pretty amazing when you think about it, that by the time we get born, it's like we're rolled right into this thing that God already had going for the earth and for us. 1 Peter 1 and 2 tells us that we were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He knew all about us before we were even born. He knew the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end. And so we were chosen according to that foreknowledge. And 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago, about God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. God's called us out of that life of darkness, that life of emptiness, of blindness, and he's opened our eyes to his beauty and to his love and to his mercy, and called us, he's calling us even now to walk in his purpose. And God's plans and his ways are so much greater than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. He really, honestly knows what's best for us. We think sometimes we know better. We would never say that. Nobody would ever say that they know better than God. Most people wouldn't. But the fact is when we don't listen to God and we do our own thing, that's what we're saying. Oh, I know better. But God knows what's best for us, and his plans for us are greater than anything that we could ever come up with, anything we could ever even ask or imagine. Now, if we're going to accept God's call in our life, if we want to accept his plans and his purpose for our life, if we want to accomplish his will and walk in his blessings, then there's some things that have to happen. If we really want to do the most for God and get the most out of life, get the most out of ourselves, then it's not something that we want to do half-heartedly. We need to do it. We need to answer the call of God with our whole heart. And that's what I want to talk about today. Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us, love the Lord with your whole heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You notice the heart is number one, with all your heart. In Matthew 22:36-38, when Jesus was asked which was the most important or the greatest commandment, he used this same command and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. When Jesus was first beginning his ministry, in Luke 4:18, he announced his mission, his calling, his purpose, his plan, with a quote from Isaiah 61, verse 1. And it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up or heal the brokenhearted. And that's going to be a key thing today that I want to talk about being, having our hearts, our broken hearts, bound up, healed by the Lord, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release the prisoners from darkness. See, that was Jesus' calling. Just like we have a calling, he had a calling. And he, fortunately for us, he answered his calling. He walked in his purpose, his plan. He was obedient to it, perfectly obedient to it. We're told in Romans that it's in the heart where we have beliefs. Romans 10:9, if you confess or declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hebrews tells us that the heart has thoughts and even attitudes. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Everything about us in some way is connected to what's going on in our heart. Even though we can't always see it, our heart is very, very important. It tells us in God's word that man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. God doesn't judge us the way or look at us in the way other men or women look at us. When we see people, we see them with our eyes, and we see the outward. In fact, we see the personality the most. We can't even see their character. God goes deep inside and sees down in to the core of their being. He sees their heart, the most important part of us. In Scripture, the way God looks at our heart, the way the heart is actually considered in Scripture, it means the very center or core of our being, the innermost part of the human character, the central part of those qualities that make us human, that make us who we are, the real me. My essential being, the essence of life, that's my heart. That's when God's talking about the heart, when I'm using these scriptures and we're talking about that, I'm certainly not just talking about the muscle inside of our body that pumps the blood. That's the heart, yes. That's a physical heart. But we're talking way beyond that. We're talking about the core of who we are, the central core, the what makes us who we are. That's the part that God wants sold out for Him. And if our heart is what defines us, and if our heart is, that means what we really are, then we can certainly expect that the devil is going to try to steal away our heart from God and fill it with every kind of lie, every kind of deception, every kind of bad or harmful or hurtful thing that he can put in there. All the stuff we've talked about so many, you know, the anger, the discouragement, the pride, the jealousy, the lust, the greed, envy, all these things. The devil wants to throw them all in there. He wants to fill our heart with that type of stuff. He knows that if he can cause us to lose heart, that he has essentially taken us out of the game. You know what it means when we say, well, he lost heart. He just wasn't in it anymore. He didn't care anymore. And if the devil can get us to lose heart, he doesn't need to worry about us as a Christian anymore, because we're out of the game. We're finished. We're done. Because we just don't care anymore. God has given us something special in our heart, and the devil will do everything in his power to break that something special. And that's why Jesus has come. He said it in that scripture in Isaiah 61 when he said, "This is my purpose." He came to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up, to heal the brokenhearted, and so that he could set us free and we could put our whole heart back into our life, and we could have this life then of abundance, and we could fulfill our purpose and calling. So see, that's part of what has been going on in our life, is when we become a Christian, Jesus comes in and starts healing this heart of ours, if we allow him. God sees the heart as all important. In Proverbs 4:23, he calls it the wellspring of life. And everything we do flows from it. That whole verse reads, this is what it says. Proverbs 4:23, above all else. Think about that. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart. That means above our business, above our work, above our home, above our car, above our bank accounts, our hobbies, even our hopes and dreams, and all those kind of things, guard your heart. Because it's our heart that is the essence of who we are. Our bank account isn't. Our home isn't. Even family and friends aren't. It's our heart. That's what makes us. We're not much good to our family or our friends if we have no heart. God looks at the heart as something that's awfully important. And he's also given us a clue when he says that, above all else to guard it, he's given us the clue that we can lose our heart. Our hearts can be broken. Our hearts can be wounded. Think back over your life. However old you are, think back over your life and think of the different successes and the different failures you've experienced. There's been things in your life you regret and things in your life that you're proud of, that you've done. One of the best predictors for success in anything that we go into is that we put our whole heart into that thing. You give it everything you've got. We put our passion in there. We put our energy in there. We put our time and our money and everything. We put our whole heart into that thing on every level of our life. And the chances then of our success are very, very good. Especially if that's something that God called us to do. Then it's almost assured. On the other hand, if we're involved in something and our heart just isn't in it, how many times have we said that about ourselves or someone else has said about it, us, or we said it, nah, their heart just isn't in it. Or we do something half-heartedly. See, we're saying it right there. We're just not giving it our all. And what happens? It fails, or we just drop out because we didn't really care that much. That's why we just did it half-heartedly. That's why our heart just wasn't in it. And that's why God wants us to love Him with our whole heart and to guard that. Because if we love God with our whole heart, then we'll be successful as Christians. What does God mean when He says that the heart is a wellspring of life? What is a wellspring? We were just up north a couple weeks ago. We were up in the Upper Peninsula, and we happened to have a couple water bottles in the back of my car because we bring water along when we were traveling because we had a dog with us. So we have a dog thing and a bowl, a dish, or whatever you want to call it. And the water. And as we were driving down the road, we go through this little tiny town, and I see this, like a fountain, and then there's just this pipe, and there's just water coming up, just coming up. And I knew immediately what it was. It was one of these things, like a wellspring. It's like an artesian well. It just keeps coming up, and it comes up. When we used to, for a while, we lived in Boston years ago, and there was a place in the side of a hill, a pipe sticking out of the side of the hill, and water was always coming out. For all the time we were there, it never stopped. And I used to go there and fill up those five-gallon jugs of water and put them on top of a water cooler. And so anyway, I filled up both things of water. I tasted the water. It tasted good. And I filled them up. That's a wellspring. It's something that just keeps coming. It just flows out of the core, and it just keeps coming out. And it doesn't dry up. Imagine if you're in a desert and there's nothing there but sand and emptiness and dryness. And then all of a sudden you come upon this well that's just springing out water, and it forms a little pool, and you find what we call an oasis. And trees start to grow up, and maybe there's fruit, palms or dates or whatever, coconuts or something. It's an oasis of life. And that's our heart. That's what God is saying, is that in our heart is this wellspring of life. It's the heart is what gives life its essence, its fullness, its meaning. It's where we love. That's where love is. Remember, the most important command is to love. Love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is how we connect with God. And we love because He first loved us, and that's where we're touched by God in His love. When Jesus came down and He loved us, He died for us. That's how we connect with God. A life that is filled with love and filled with loving is a life that is most in the image of God. Because we call God love. God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Think of all the things that you love in life. Things that really touch you. Your family, your friends, your church. Things of beauty, your pets maybe. Maybe it's music or sunsets or special places or memories. And of course, God Himself. Things that we love, things that, you know, we hold dear. Without the heart, that core inner being of who we really are, if there was no inner being there, if there was no heart, you know, no central part of us, we couldn't love any of these things. We wouldn't know how to love. That's why God says, above all else, guard your heart. And we need to be careful that we don't get too hung up on information, on efficiency, on productivity, on professionalism, safety, busyness, whatever. All these different things, all good things, every one of them. They're all very good things. Our mind is important, but it's the heart that's at the center of our being. And if we don't guard our heart and we bury it with our intellect to the point where it's forgotten or ignored, then our life becomes nothing but a tedious task. A life that's just filled with drudgery, monotony, boring, empty, lifeless, full of no hope, no passion, no love, because there's no heart in it. We have to be careful that we don't lose what God has put in our heart to draw us out. You see, God puts things in our heart. He reaches down from heaven, and He reaches into our life, and He speaks into our heart, and He puts things in there that then are drawn out or should be drawn out as we live from the heart, that make us who we are and make us unique, make us special. Because every one of us are different, and God has put things inside of us to make us special and different. And it's there in the depths of our heart that we find what God has given us and what He's still giving us, the things that He's given us to bring into this world, to touch this world for Him. You see, we have this like treasures inside of our heart that if we don't reach in and we don't feel our heart and know our heart, we'll never see them, we'll never experience them. God wants us to connect with our core being, get down into the depths of our being and meet God there, and then draw out those treasures and bring them out into the world and touch the world through those things. This is the wellspring where God is pouring out His unique blessing to the world through you. And you think you don't have anything special. And God says, yeah, you do. Because you got Me, is what He's saying. You got Me inside of you. And I've devised something especially for you so that you can bring it out. Nobody else is the same way. Nobody else has the same unique gifting. And it's inside your heart, and we got to find it. We got to dig deep and draw deep out of that heart and out of our essence, the essence of our being, and find that and bring that thing out and use that to change our world around us. To do that, we have to not only listen to the heart, but we have to listen and be led by, of course, the Spirit of God. We can't forget about the Holy Spirit, because this regular old human heart, you know, everybody has a heart, Christian or not, and our human heart, if we know the Bible, it tells us that our human heart can deceive us. It says, in fact, that the heart is deceitful above all things. And we know that our heart can be corrupted. It can be broken. That's why Jesus came, he said, to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to fix our heart so we can get it back in tune with God, so that it resonates with God. Jesus came to give us hope, to give us an abundant life, to give us love, to heal our hearts, to set them on fire and to set them free to be and bring out what God created. And when he does that, then God's love and his power can then flow through us as we love God with our whole heart, as we give him our whole heart, not half-hearted, but our whole heart. So now when we learn to go beyond our mind, beyond our intellect, and get connected to God through our heart, that's when our life really begins. Anybody can agree intellectually that Jesus is Lord. We can read it in the Bible. We can understand God's word. Anybody with a mind can read the Bible. Anybody that can read the Bible. And if somebody wants, if they have some brains, they can look at it, read it, and say, this is true. This is good. I believe in this. And intellectually, we can give our assent. We can agree and say, that's right, okay, I go with it. And we can even agree that salvation is a wonderful thing. And say, yeah, that would be good for me. But it's not until we surrender our heart to Christ and make him Lord that we see the real transformation begin to take place. Of course, we need to love God with our minds. All of our mind, it says. And we need to love him with all of our soul, which is all of our emotions. But the one, if you remember, that's listed first is our heart. The core of our being. And that's what we have to open up and allow it to love God and be loved by God. All of our heart. When we love God with all of our heart and we allow this heart, this spirit-led heart to influence our life, then our life begins to wield more influence in the world. When this heart inside of us is influenced by God, when we really connect with God, and the Holy Spirit's moving in us, and our heart is pumping God, we're going to become influential. Because God makes things happen. When we're pumping God in our heart, God's going to open up all kinds of opportunities, people to talk to. We may not see it necessarily as some great momentous thing that just happened or whatever, but we make connections. We touch people. We talk to people. We minister life. We minister love to people. Because it's God. That's what he's doing. That's what Jesus did when he was on earth. And now we do it in his place because we're his body. We're his people. When we have a real passion for God, and we have a real passion for our calling, then people are attracted to that because people are attracted to passionate people. It doesn't matter what you're passionate about. You can be passionate about some ridiculous thing, people will come and follow you. They will. Remember, run. What was his name? Forrest. Run, Forrest, run. All he was doing was running. Before he knew it, he had groups, mobs of people running across the country with him. And then he quit running one day because he just said, oh, I'm done. And all these people, they were lost. They didn't know what to do anymore because they didn't know what. They were just followers. Our world is filled with followers. And we're followers. We're followers of Christ. But we can also be leaders in Christ as we let this passion for God flow out of our heart. And as we walk in our calling, then if there's a real passion there, that's going to excite other people. Not that they're going to like live on your doorstep, you know, and follow your every move, but they're going to see what's going on there in your life, and they're going to agree, and they're going to help and support and whatever. And then if there's more people that have that, then we agree and help and support that. And you know, we see the good, and all those things will work together, as God says, for the good. Because all God's plans all are slowly coming together. They're not going like this. They're not being scattered. That's more the devil. God's working things together, bringing all things together under the lordship of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's in Ephesians. Sometimes when we think about our heart and we think about having all this passion in our heart, we think about it as emotions. Emotions are a little bit different than what I'm talking about, but we sometimes think that these emotions are inferior because they're emotions. Or if we're a guy, we think maybe they're too feminine. But emotions are sort of like the voice of our heart. And those emotions were created by God. Of course, we abuse them. You know, sometimes let our emotions control us. Sometimes we live by our emotions. That's not right at all. But that doesn't mean that the emotions are bad. Those emotions are still, were created by God, put inside of us. And those emotions can speak sometimes through our heart. They speak to us and they show how we feel. And they show others how we feel. Sometimes we might, you know, like people sometimes joke about me that, you know, because a lot of times Pastor Don will say, you know, up here's the area of the tears or something like that, you know. And I mean, I used to hate it when I would be speaking and all of a sudden I would get choked up and, you know, get a little teary-eyed or something like that. I couldn't stand it. And I would try everything in my power to not let it happen. And then sometimes I'd just be standing, you know, try not to, you know, to cry and stuff like that. And after a while, I just gave up. And people, different people came and told me, in fact, that, you know, when you get hit like that, because it was God, like, doing something and speaking his love to me or through me or something like that, you know, different situations, whatever. And quite a few people had told me over the years that, you know, when you get hit like that, then it hits me. So let it go, you know. So I did, and here it comes. And, you know, God puts those things in us because he wants to show us how much he loves us. And if we just go up to somebody and say, hey, I love you, you know, and just walk away, I mean, that's just like normal, hey, the guys, man, hey, I love you, man, you know, and walk away. But when, you know, we sometimes that emotion comes out and, you know, we're in the midst of a conversation and, you know, you tell somebody how much you love them and you start crying. And you say, you know, I'd do anything for you. I really love you so much. And you realize then that, wow, this guy's speaking from his heart. You know, and so it touches us. I didn't have all that written in there about all the crying and everything. But here it comes always, like usual. So those emotions can be a voice of our heart and even from God. We don't know what God doesn't say, okay, shed 15 tears so those people will know, you know, what's going on. But it just comes out. Why do we need to hide how we feel? Why should we? Why do we need to bury our passions? Because they don't fit into our intellectual plans. Why are those passions inside of us? Because God put them there. We shouldn't bury those passions as long as they're God-inspired. If God's put them inside of us, we need to let them out. We need to find some kind of outlet to release that passionate thing, that love or that talent or that ability or that whatever it is, that thing that God has put in you. And sometimes we have to really seek and dig and find, what is it? What is that thing that God has given me that's special? Our mind is very important. Our intellect is very important. But without a heart, you know what we become? The Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz. Just a machine. A computer is very intellectual. There's all kinds of information on there, and you can find anything on there. These days you can buy anything, find anything. You could do all kinds of work through a computer, but do you really find any heart? Do you get loved by your computer? I don't think so. The heart is a lot more than a machine. It's more than just our emotions, too. Remember, God said, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. God's word judges the thoughts and the attitude of our heart. Often in Scripture, it's talking about Jesus, and it would say something along the lines of, Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, said, you remember that? Romans 10:10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. See, that's where our real beliefs are held. Matthew 13:15 talks about us understanding with our hearts. That's where real understanding is held. Our deepest understandings that we hold dearly, the truths that we believe, the things that we've taken on as what's important and who we are, we hold those dear to our heart, close to our heart. Our deepest beliefs, our loves, our faith, those are all issues of the heart. The mind deals with information, but the heart deals with the deepest areas of our lives. It's with the heart that we experience the fullness of life. Creativity comes from the heart. And you know why? Because the heart is the area that's closest to the Creator. Real creativity, when we actually create something from nothing, who else can do that? There's somebody we know. God Himself. And it's through our heart that He touches us. So when we let something come really out of our heart and don't just follow the book, just follow the magazine article, just follow what somebody else said, but when we let our heart get involved, now we become creative. It comes from God, through His Spirit, into our heart, and then out. That's the way that works. When someone sings a beautiful song that moves us, we say, wow, man, they sang that right from the heart. And it's usually true. I mean, some people are just plain talented and they can sort of make it look like it came from the heart just because they're so talented. But I'll tell you what, if they are that talented, most likely it does come from the heart, or that's where it originally came from. That's how they learned to do it. The best of any work, the best works of art, the best of love, the best of life comes from the heart. The best relationships are heart relationships, not mental relationships. I don't want to form a business contract to have a friend or a wife or a spouse or a child. You know, those relationships are through the heart. God says in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." All your heart. Are we seeking God with all of our heart? To hear His voice, we need to listen to our heart. To love Him, we must love Him with all of our heart. We can't be the person that God created us to be. We can't fulfill our purpose or live the life that He meant us to live unless we live it from the heart. We have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Over and over, with all of our heart. Our heart is the wellspring of life. That's where it all comes from. A precious gift from God that we need to guard above all else. We need to guard it from getting calloused, getting hardened against God and His people. Guard it from melting with fear or being discouraged or so many other things that will break down our heart. We can't lose heart when things don't go our way. When things aren't moving fast enough, we can't lose heart. When it seems that evil is triumphing. When we're faced with problems or trials or the pains and heartaches of life. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Therefore, we do not lose heart. Over and over, don't lose heart. Love with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart. We can't give in to the problems of life or the enemy's attacks on our heart. It's precious ground and it's worth fighting for. Our heart. Above all else, guard it, for it's the wellspring of life. Ephesians 1:18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people." That's for us. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. God wants us to see down in the deepest depths of who we are that we have hope, that the one who called us is giving us hope, that we have riches, that we have a glorious inheritance stored up for us in heaven. He wants that to be down deep in us, that be part of the core of who we are, knowing these things, so that we don't give up hope, so that we don't lose heart. Jesus came to give us abundant life, and to do that, He had to heal our broken hearts. Maybe your heart has been wounded. Maybe it's been hurt, closed up, hardened, broken. Maybe you've lost heart in your walk with Christ. Maybe the passion you once had is dried up. Maybe your heart just isn't into your calling anymore, into your life, into your marriage, into your things that God has put into you. Maybe it's time to call the heart healer, the one who heals the brokenhearted, Jesus. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I want to pray today for our hearts. You know, I know every one of us face things every day. Sometimes we might be bummed out by what we see going on in our government. We might feel that it's going down the tubes in some ways. Or we might have a tough time at work. Maybe our job's not going well. Maybe things at home aren't where we wish they were. Maybe it's our kids. Maybe something's going on with them or has gone on with them, and we've lost heart. Maybe your heart's just hurting. And God's saying, we have a heart healer. His name is Jesus. So I want to welcome you up here today if you need to get your heart right. If you want your hurting heart, your broken heart, if you want it healed. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have filled our heart with your love. We thank you that your word shows the importance of our heart and that you tell us to guard our heart above all else. We thank you that there is a wellspring of life in us that you call the heart. And Lord, I pray right now for every single one of us, all that are hearing this message, that you, Jesus, the one who came to heal the brokenhearted, would heal our hearts, that your healing power would be released into the depths of our being, that you would reach right in and touch our heart and bring life to our heart, bring health and healing to our heart, bring wholeness and love, passion, and life to our heart. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Pour your Spirit into our hearts. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you right now. We thank you for everything, Lord God. We thank you for all things. Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people here, Lord God. I thank you for each and every one. I pray that you would bless them abundantly and fill their hearts with your love. Fill all of our hearts with your love and with a love for you and for others. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.